Today on Real Radio.
Rajneesh up in Oregon did that. Come forward and lay your riches and be free. Of course, he took them up and bought homes all around the world and Rolls Royces. You know what? I'm not asking you to do that at all. I'm asking you to do something more expensive than that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series that examines the first 15 verses of chapter 8. The passage includes the parable of the sower, and it's a four-part series because there are four different types of soil or hearts that react to the Word of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called Is This Your Heart?
A heart that is choked with riches. This is a religious heart. This is a heart that claims to know God. Jesus said that this heart is burdened with all of these things. And the first thing that we see regarding this is that it's a heart choked with riches, and it's riches that we have. Stuff that we have now. And again, didn't Adam and Eve have stuff? Oh, they had stuff. In fact, right at the beginning, they had stuff and they didn't have anybody to share it with. It was all their stuff. They were satisfied. They were happy. They had riches in a sense. But consider this. The riches that we have, you say, Jack, you don't know how poor I am. Listen, I've been to parts of the world. I don't care if you're in debt right now and you're broke. You're richer than some people, many people in the world today. Believe me, you are not out right now listening to this message. You are not out right now hammering meal and corn, trying to make ends meet and trying to make a little patty just to eat something right now. And then from there, you've got to start thinking about lunch or dinner. You have two shoes or sandals on your feet right now. You see, the truth is, you and I have so much right now. Romans 2, verse 4 says, do not despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, knowing this, that it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Man, it's times like this that those of you who don't know Jesus, who don't know God, you can look around. You have your health. You have this life. God, thank you. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Secondly, under this point, a heart choked with riches, riches that we pursue. That's the stuff for tomorrow. The stuff that we pursue tomorrow. See, the lust of the eyes and to see that something's pleasant to the eyes. That speaks about tomorrow. Tomorrow. The lust of the eyes is something where you're looking and I gotta have that. I just have to have it. 1 John tells us that it's this lusting for things that we can have that begins to take us on a path of pursuit. We've got to have it. Something that's in our sights for tomorrow. We may not get it tomorrow, but I'm going to have this next year. We may not get it next year, but I'm going to get it. In 5 years, I have to have that. Just remember this. Everything has got its price, no matter how free it might appear to be. If you let it possess you, it has tentacles. And so our hearts can be choked with this pursuit, the possibility of what I can have tomorrow. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Wow. What you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body and what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than your clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. I love that. You never see a rose screaming in your garden. You never see an orange tree trying to push out an orange. They don't panic. Birds don't panic. They wake up in the morning. You guys, birds wake up in the morning. They don't know how they're going to eat. And what do they do when they wake up? They sing. That's a good lesson for us. Praise Him when we wake up. We probably don't have to worry about anything at all now. He's going to provide. Sing to Him. Get out there with the birds and sing like a nut. Worship Him. He says, yet even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Now, if God clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the ovens, will He not even much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things do the non-believers seek after. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about the things of its own. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. That means tomorrow's got its own woes. God will deal with that. You and I, we're to seek the Lord. And then thirdly, the heart that is choked by riches is a heart regarding these riches that we have in the sense of desire. In the end, what's your goal in life? Don't shout it out. Might offend someone. But what is your goal in life? When you come to the end, what is your goal? Is it to retire in Maui? Is it to have a penthouse in Central Park? Or, well, what is your goal? What is it in the end for you? What is your dream? Is it something material of this world? And I thought about Adam and Eve. How could she have gone for this fruit? Haven't you ever read that in your Bible and said, Eve, you crazy nut. Why did you do that? You messed it up for all of us. I mean, you really blew it, Eve. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. Did you know that? It says there in Timothy that he willfully partook. He loved her so much that he ate of the fruit that she offered to be with her, to go with her. Didn't Jesus, who knew no sin, come to earth that we might receive the righteousness of God in Him? The church, the bride of Christ, the believer, we started out having been deceived. That's why we need to be born again. We were deceived by sin. But Jesus comes along and He goes to the cross and He receives the punishment that was meted for me. He receives it. He willfully came and partook, like Adam willfully came and partook. That's why the Bible says that there was the first Adam and there was the last Adam, Jesus Christ. He willfully chose to enter in. Well, this desire, this place that we have in our heart, listen to this. Matthew 6:20 says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Church, listen, because earth ain't going to do it. Whether where moth or rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, that's exactly the heart Jesus is talking about right here, is that where they have built up these things and they're so concerned and they've got to have these things. Watch this. If you have things, my friend, listen, those of you who are wealthy, you should be the most thankful people on the planet. And those of you who are not wealthy, you should be the most thankful people on the planet. Those of you who hand to mouth, you should be the most thankful people on the planet, because collectively, together, wherever we might fall into that category or categories, we have the Lord. And let me ask you, the heart that is right before God says, hallelujah, thank you, amen, Jesus. And the heart that is not right before the Lord says, but this, and but that, and I want, and how come, and it's not fair. Complaining, griping, and moaning. Because you are burdened with the cares of this life, the pursuit of riches. And final, third point, the desire of pleasures and for them. He said this kind of a heart is choked with the pleasures of life, and they bring no, this heart brings no fruit to maturity. This correlates to 1 John 2:16, and that it is the pride of life. And with Eve, it's in Genesis 3:6 again. At the end of the verse, it says that she saw that it makes one desirable to be wise. And it's choked. Pleasures. A heart choked with pleasures. Three things again quickly. The pleasures of appearance. See, what is this? The pleasures of appearance. How do we get that? Because if you put all three of these scripture verses on top of one another, with what Eve is talking about, what John is talking about, what Luke is talking about, you come away with this. The pleasure of appearances, or, listen, appearances meaning this. Self being the focal point. And what I'm going to say right now is diametrically opposed to the doctrine of the world in which you and I live in right now. You want to know why this world is so unhappy? Why this world is so sick? Why this world is so discontent with owning more than it ever has? Is because it is focused on self. It is self-focused. And it has everything to do with how we come off in appearance. Joseph Kennedy, the father of John Kennedy and Joseph Jr. and Ted Kennedy and all those guys, said, it doesn't matter what you are inside. What matters is what you appear like to others. Is that not a sick, twisted mind? It doesn't matter what you are on the inside. It's what you appear like to others. That's what matters. That is the most, that counsels from hell itself. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what you do in secret. It doesn't matter what you think about. It doesn't matter who you know what you are down deep inside. What matters, you see, is what others perceive you, or their appearance of you matters. That's the thing. That's self-deception. Appearance, focal point. Me being the focal point. To unveil, this word appearance, or to be the focal point, means to unveil yourself. The unveiling of yourself toward others. It's like a show, though. It's not who you really are. It's a spectacle. It's a Hollywood production. It's to announce your arrival. The word to keep up an appearance is to announce your arrival to the world. And 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, listen to this. You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Oh, brother, Jack sounds like my parents. Oh, wait a minute. Submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Hey, young people in here, find godly leadership and follow it. Find people who love God and mimic them. I'll give you a clue. If they're following God, if you should mimic them, there'll be a wonderful presence of humility in their lives. Follow that. None of this appearance stuff. And you and I live in the 21st century in Babylon, i.e., Southern California, and it's all about appearance. It's all about how we look. And we're terrified. Again, I say we as a culture, not you as a church. We as a culture are terrified that somebody might find out what or who we really are. And so we mask it. And Madison Avenue does their Christmas spin. And we take it like a bass going after a rubber frog. I gotta have that. And all my neighbors on my street will think I'm something. And those neighbors become the Lord over your life. You can't tithe. You don't have any money. You can't serve. You don't have any time. You can't worship. Your heart's too heavy. You can't evangelize. Somebody might reject you and you feel like a fool. You've played it safe. You've invested in all the wrong things and invested nothing in the right thing. And in the end, the lid of the coffin's going to fall. It's going to be over. And this heart will have missed it. And it had so much in life. And like those pursers that were on the Titanic, who went from room to room, looting the rooms with gold and silver, diamonds and jewelry. They've stuffed their pockets with nuggets of silver and gold and jewelry. And thinking that they were going to jump off the side and swim over to the life raft and get on, they loaded their pockets up with all this wealth and dove over the side of the Titanic and went straight to the bottom of the sea because of the weight of their treasures. Which leads us to this, possessions. The pleasures of possessions. And again, they're not bad unless you do this. The word implies here, when you overlay these scriptures, to offer them up as a display. Look what I have. This is my identity. This is me. You guys, and I know no girls would do this, but guys, you remember when we were teenagers? And we got our first car. I don't know about you, but my first car was a 1962 Baja Bug. Remember those Baja dirt bug thingies? And you pull up to a stoplight, and there's somebody that's kind of near your age, and you'd sit there and, you know, and like, oh man, ooh, listen to that. You got 120 horses in that thing. Guys do that kind of stuff. You know, and I don't know what girls do. I don't know what you girls do, but that's what guys do. And we laugh because, you know, that's kind of cute. But it translates into, look at me. I'm on display. To show off or to enthrone something. It's identity. And James chapter 4, verse 1 says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that have come upon you. For your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, and your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and they will eat upon your flesh like fire. For you have heaped up for yourselves treasures in the last days. And James goes on to teach us that those treasures don't equate to anything, that it can't save us. The possessions, church, you've heard this saying before, but it's extremely powerful. I want to say it. I want to quote it again. It's very popular. Do you possess your possessions, or do your possessions possess you? It's not bad in what you have. It's where they are enthroned in our hearts. And then finally, a heart choked with pleasures, the pleasures of pride. And when we say the pleasures of pride, see, Eve looked and she was excited because this brought to her, if I just eat of this, it'll bring wisdom to me. I'll be wise. People will come and consult me. My children and offspring and the world will come to me. I'll have a place in this world. To make a name for yourself, to stake your claim. In the book of Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, Nebuchadnezzar, he looked around. God had blessed him. The sole despot of the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar looked out over his great hanging gardens of Babylon, the wonder of the world, and Nebuchadnezzar said, is this not the great Babylon which I have built? And the Bible says God smote him with lunacy. Because he didn't give glory to God. Pride. Was it not Satan's fall, pride? Sometimes the Lord, in love, has to remove our little kingdoms from us to get our attention, you know. And Luke is warning, Jesus is warning, he's saying, listen, watch out about this stuff. And so we end here, church. It's over. You can close your Bible. Here's the deal. What priority is the Word of God in your life? Are you living for stuff? Are you worried? Are you burdened? Have you been robbed? Listen, if I were a cult leader this morning, like Rajneesh and Bhagwan and all these knuckleheads, they have said things like this throughout antiquity. And what's his name? Sri Bambi, what a name, huh? They all said this, bring your riches and lay them down right here. I'm dead serious. They said, I will lift your burdens from you. Rajneesh up in Oregon did that. Come forward and lay your riches and be free. Of course, he took them up and bought homes all around the world and Rolls Royces. You know what? I'm not asking you to do that at all. I'm asking you to do something more expensive than that, more costly than that. I'm asking you to give your heart to God. And imagine holding it up in a shower and letting him wash it of all your worries, burdens, and concerns. You have been so robbed and so maligned by these things. Because rather than you possessing them to the glory of God, they have possessed you to the whims of the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. In a presentation called, Is This Your Heart? It's a four-part mini-series that looks at the four types of soil, or the four different types of recipients of God's Word, as mentioned in the famous parable of the sower, taken from the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8. It's part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to give you a couple of reminders. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about it. Pastor Jack?
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment, yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock Pacific time, at hischannel.com.
Okay, and again, that's hischannel.com, hischannel.com. We do have a link at realradioactive.org. That's our own realradioactive.org. And also, we want to tell you about an upcoming parenting conference. It's on May the 21st and 22nd. You do have to register for it. It's called Raising Truly Great Kids, with Dr. Tim Kimmel from Family Matters. Again, that's on a Friday and Saturday, May the 21st and 22nd. It'll cover a number of topics like what it takes to raise great kids in the midst of busy lives, practical ways to take the fear out and put the fun back into parenting, turning heartache to hope with your rebellious child, how to bring out the best in your strong-willed child, and a lot more. Now, you do have to register for this, and you can do so online. Just visit us again at realradioactive.org, and just click the link that says Raising Truly Great Kids. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.